What's the season look like for you this year?
Well, the season looks good, Steve, because we were coming off a very successful year last year with 19 wins and 7 losses. And from that team, we had a lot of freshmen on our team, and we really only lost one player to graduation. So everybody returns. We have 6 new players to join our team, 4 of whom it appears that they'll see a lot of action on a regular basis. So our outlook is good. I think that the players are that much more experienced after 1 year, and also they're a little bit stronger and faster this year, having worked out hard over the summer. They're well aware of what college hockey is all about now, so there are no surprises for us. On the other side, or on the other hand, though, because we are an established team, shown quite well last year, that no longer are we the underdogs to be taken lightly. We are going to have people really getting fired up to play the University of Alaska Fairbanks, unlike any of the previous 3 years. So our success will depend upon that same determination that we had last year, the players' willingness to sacrifice for the good of the team, and I think that we will, but that is a variable that we'll have to keep a close eye on.
What's your season look like? How are your opponents rated?
Well, we have a stronger schedule this year. This past weekend, we played against a very strong University of Michigan Dearborn team. We beat them the first night 5-4 and lost a very close game in the final minute in overtime. We lost 3-2. Exciting hockey, and although disappointed we didn't win both of them, I have no disappointments in the way that our players played. Now, this coming Monday and Tuesday at the University Ice Arena, we'll be playing against a very strong Mankato State team. For the past 6 years, this team is qualified for Division II postseason play. They were the national champs in 1980, runners-up in 1979, and finished in third place in 78 and 81. Last year, they were in the quarterfinals, and they lost to the eventual national champion, Rochester Institute of Technology. So what that says is that this team is year in, year out, one of the top teams in the Midwest, and I expect them to be the same this year. They'll be playing against Anchorage on Friday and Saturday night and coming up here on Monday and Tuesday to play. The other games that we have, we only have 6 games at home before the start, before Christmas, and the next series will be December 5th and 6th against Concordia College from Moorhead, Minnesota, and then we hit the road. We'll be going to Anchorage for 1 weekend to play them December 9th and 10th, come back, and the players will take their final examinations, and we will take our annual trip back to the Midwest, where we will play 10 games in a little over 2.5 weeks. And then, of course, we have another 8 games at home after the start of the second semester. So it's a more difficult schedule, but we feel we're equal to the challenge now, and we don't really have to look for weak opponents to play. We feel that we're at a good level and have a very high quality team, and we're looking forward to this season.
Okay, now on your opponents, 0-1 on the big one. What's Anchorage look like compared to you?
I think that Anchorage and Fairbanks are really 2 comparable teams. Last year we had the advantage in our 4 games. We beat them 3 out of 4. They beat us the home opener 8-4, and from there on we beat them. 1 in overtime, 1 by 3 goals, and another 1 by 1. That team, Anchorage, just like our team, they lost very few players. I think they graduated 2, and they have complemented their team with a couple recruits. So they promise to be a strong contender, as just as they were last year. I'm certain that we'll have our usual dog and cat fight with them, but no longer can they boast that they have a 15-game winning streak against the weak sisters in the North, as they used to refer to us. I think that we've earned their respect, and I'm not so bold as to predict that we'll beat them every game that we play them 4 times this year, but I know that every 4 of the games will be very competitive.
Are you going to modify your style of play or anything this year?
No, I don't think that we have any changes in store in our systems. It's still the same as they were last year. We've made a few refinements to our power play, although it wasn't evident last weekend. We weren't very successful, but it is early season, and we have to get out a few of the wrinkles. The personnel is the same, and we'll probably use the same game plans as we have in the past, and that's based on just a lot of hard work and unselfish play. And they did that quite well last year, and I assume and expect that they'll do the same this year.
Excuse me, I scratched. Who are some of the players to watch out for?
Well, we have an All-American on our team last year. Doug DeSorcy, our goaltender, certainly had a lot to do with our success last year and was very deserving of that award, first ever for our program and first ever for Alaska. So we have him back, but we also have a strong second goaltender on our squad by the name of J.P. Tadasichuk, with another fine goaltender, Sean Jones. So we feel like we're strong in goal. We have one of the nation's premier goal scorers on our squad. We're very fortunate to have sophomore Steve Morey on our team. Last year in 26 games, he had 75 points, which was really a phenomenal number of points. He is indeed a scoring machine and certainly helps our offensive cause an awful lot. So he's back in action and playing as well as he did last year, and he's complemented by other players, Eric Stokes, who was a freshman last year, who had some 44 points, which is really an incredible feat for a freshman, but he was a little bit overshadowed by Steve's success. So those two players promised to put a lot of points on the board for us. I feel that our defensive core, although we have no real superstars, we feel that we have six good, solid defensemen that play the game quite well, play the body, and protect our goal. Last year, we set as our goal at the start of the season to limit our opponents to no more than an average of three goals. Well, we finished right at that mark, and that's if we can keep our opponents to only three goals a game, we feel that we have the scoring potential to score more than three goals. So if everything comes out right, we'll win every game. But obviously, that's not the case. We will be in every game for certain if we continue to work hard on our defensive coverage.
What's your win-loss record
going to be? Oh, Steve, you ask me this every year, and every year I tell you the same thing, and this is no exception. Difficult to say. Again, last year we won 19 games and 7. I would never have guessed that we would have won 19 games and lost only 7. So it's just such an unpredictable happening that I can't say. It would be nice if we almost had 20 wins last year, and certainly we'd love to do that. Our goal is to become the best college hockey team that we can, and as long as I feel that we're progressing towards that goal, well, I think that our win-loss record will be favorable. But how many wins and how many losses, I can't say. And don't even dare to guess, actually.
I'll jump around. Anything else I need to ask you that we haven't covered?
No, maybe about spectators.
Sure.
Okay. I'm very encouraged, not only with the performance of our players so far this year, but in our first two home series, our first home series with the Michigan Dearborn, we had record attendance here at the University Ice Arena. We had some 1,250 students and people from the community come out and cheer their home team on. And I think that what they saw will be enough for them to come back. I certainly hope so. They saw two exciting college hockey games, and as testimony to their appreciation, at the end of our overtime loss to Dearborn, both teams received a standing ovation from the crowd. It was a very warm, good sporting event, and I feel that we're in store for a lot more events like that this year. The students come out and they always put on a show in the stands with their garbage cans or their outfits that they may have on that evening, and this all adds to the gala festivities that go on at a hockey game. It's more than just goals and the players and action on the ice. There's a lot of other things to be enjoyed. And I think last weekend was a perfect example of that, and I'm certain that everyone went home with a smile on their face after those games. And again, I think that we're in store for another good college hockey season with the remaining games we have on our schedule.
Thank you.
You bet.
John, what's your season look like?
Well, I think this year both our men's and women's teams will be improved over last year. Our women's will be improved because our top two women are back from last year, and we've got two new women who will really help out. So we've got four good women skiers, and that's the first time in a few years that UAF's had that. Our men's team, we lost our top skier last year, Matt Van Enkevoort. He was our most consistent skier all year long, our top finisher at the NCAA's, top finisher in almost every big race he was in, and he qualified for World University Games. But everyone else is back. We've got one new freshman in, and our team was very young last year. We had a lot of freshmen and first-year athletes. So this year, with another year of experience, another year of training background behind them, and a little more confidence, I think those skiers are ready to move up a notch, and I hope that will make up for the absence of Matt. Also, Ian White, who had injury trouble last year, has been healthy and is skiing well this year. And if Ian can ski in 1984 the way he skied in 1982, I know that we'll be a lot better off than we were a year ago.
Who are some of the players, not players, who are some of the skiers we should watch out?
For the women's team, Karin Ivaldsen was our top skier last year and our only NCAA qualifier. She's a senior this year. Donna DeVoe is our only other non-freshman on the women's team. Donna last year was fourth and sixth at the Junior Olympics in Ishpeming, Michigan. So she's one of the top skiers her age in the country. And we have two new recruited freshmen, Anna Berit Nielsen from Brumunddal, Norway, who had a top five finish at Norwegian Junior Championships a few years ago, and Elizabeth Menendez from Jackson Hole, who skied quite well at Junior Olympics last year. Also, Carol Peterson from Grand Rapids, Michigan, is on the team, and she should be right in there. On the men's side, we have a number of returning skiers. We have eight skiers coming back who should do well. Ian White is a junior, and looks like he'll be our top guy so far based on just training and early season time trial results. After Ian, we have a group of about four skiers who were first-year men last year. Marcus Waterus and Grant Meekins from White Horse, Steve Kempinen from Minnetonka, Minnesota, and Andy White from Fairbanks. And those four skiers will all be much improved this year. I've seen a lot of that already. Also, Tim Hill from McCall, Idaho, is a freshman. Tim skied very well at JO's last year. He was fourth and sixth. He got the same places as Don DeVoe happened to get. In addition to that, we have three other skiers. Tom Lane, who has been skiing real well this year. Last year he was unable to ski for the team, but he's very fit, and he's been right up with the top group. Jim Lohman, a senior from Fairbanks, who is capable of skiing up with that group. And Dan McGill from Fairbanks, who's a sophomore. He's been injured this fall. He has a broken hand, but he's been out training every day, even without poles, and I think Dan's going to show a lot of improvement over last year, too.
Do you care to make any predictions about your season is going to be?
Well, it's hard to predict in some ways. With regard to the NCAA season or the university season, the qualification situation that is established in the West region is slanted considerably in favor of Rocky Mountain ski teams. They, despite our protestations and proposals to have a system set up which is a little more fair to the Alaskan schools, it hasn't been done. So our skiers are at a disadvantage in attempting to qualify. However, they're good enough so that I feel confident that we can go down to the regionals and qualify. I think we can qualify three or four men, and I would hope to qualify three women. It'll be real difficult to qualify three women, but I think that we probably can. If we do that, then we'll have both men's and women's relay teams as well as our individuals at NCAAs, and I think we could do very well. The men are in a position where they could be anywhere from 5th through 12th. There's a top group of four schools, Wyoming, Colorado, Utah, and Vermont, that are head and shoulders, I feel, above everyone else. Behind that group, there are about four eastern schools, Middlebury, Dartmouth, St. Lawrence, New Hampshire, a couple of Rocky Mountain schools, New Mexico and Montana State, and from up here, Anchorage and us. So any of those eight schools could be almost anywhere in that next eight spots. But I think if our skiers ski their best on that day and with the race down at sea level, and we'll be back there, we'll have a little more rest this year. The season won't have been quite as frantic going into the NCAAs. I think our men could finish somewhere between 5th and 8th on a good day. For the women, I think if we are able to get into the top 10 in women's, that will be a big step forward, and I hope and think that we could move up from there in the future. But our women are starting out from not as high a point as the men are.
Are you going to lose any skiers to the Olympics? I understand a couple of
Well, as far as the Olympics go, there's some chance that Ian White might be competing for Australia in the Olympics, although he hasn't been named to the Australian team at this point. So I don't know that Ian will be there. The Olympics are over by the 19th or 20th of February, so that still leaves plenty of time before NCAAs. On the other thing that we will lose for at least part of the season is Andy White will be competing for Australia in the World Junior Championships, which are going to be the first 4 days of February in Trondheim, Norway. So Andy will be lost to us for about the first 2 weeks of the semester. But I think that going to the World Junior Championships is quite an achievement. And if that maybe doesn't have a great effect on the rest of his season, I can understand that. I think the important thing for him is to try to do his best at World Junior Championships. That's a very important meet and a real important step in the career of a developing skier. We also have a couple of other skiers. Steve Kempinen has a shot at making the U.S. team to World Junior Championships, as does Tim Hill, and Donna DeVoe has an outside shot at it. So we're taking all those people back east at Christmas, New Year's time for the U.S. Championships, which are also the Olympic Trials and World Junior Championship selection races. And I hope that our junior skiers will place real well in those fields. And our senior skiers, I know, can do well in the senior fields.
Thank you for your time. What did you say about that, Coach?
Well, our season's probably going to be like it has the last several years. We're not strong enough to be a national contender, and yet we're strong enough that we should rank somewhere in the top 20.
Who are some of your outstanding shooters?
Well, I have two returning shooters, John Sarna and Jerry Mustard, and both of them are shooting good scores at this point. They need to shoot better, but right now they're shooting good scores. I'm extremely happy with two new shooters I have. I have a freshman from Ketchikan, Rex Clothier, who is going to be an 1,100 shooter within the next month or so. And we also have a freshman, Brian Liu, from West Valley, who's looking real good at this point in time.
Are you hoping to get to the national championship this year?
Go ahead.
Come on, Shane. You say you'll be in the top 20. Do you anticipate reaching the top 10 and going to the nationals?
I would hope that in air rifle we might have a chance to do that. The new shooters I have are shooting much better air rifle right now than they are 22, and there's a chance we could do that. Also, there's a chance that one or two people, for example, Jerry Mustard right now is shooting extremely well with his air rifle, and he conceivably could get an invitation to the Nationals on an individual basis if he keeps shooting the scores he's shooting now and continues to improve.
Roughly what kind of score, team score, will you have to have to go to the Nationals this year?
To make the Nationals, probably a school needs to be approaching 4,500 out of 48. And at this point in time, we're shooting right around the 4,400 mark. So we need to pick up about 25 points per shooter with the 22. In the air rifle, you need to be shooting about 1,500. And we're shooting around 1,430 at this point. So we need to pick up, again, 20 points possibly per shooter.
Now, how have you done so far in your season?
Well, we went down to San Francisco and had dual matches against University of San Diego, University of San Francisco, and University of Alaska Anchorage. And the competition wasn't that strong there, so we won those handily. Last weekend, we were down at Xavier University's match in Cincinnati, the Eastern Kentucky match at Richmond, Kentucky, the University of Kentucky Invitational at Lexington, and the shooters shot quite well. However, the competition's so strong there that we'll probably finish in the middle of the pack. There'll probably be about 16 to 20 colleges, and I would assume that we'll be somewhere in the middle of that group.
Of course, that's the hotbed of shooting, isn't it?
That is. That's where your top schools are now. They're all in the East Coast.
I jumped around. Anything I didn't ask you that I should have?
No, except that while we're not a spectator event, we still welcome people to come down to our matches and watch. It's not as exciting as some of the other games, but it still is instant. It's interesting once you know what's going on.
Thank you for your time.
I think we can strike with all that.
Go ahead whenever you want.
We're definitely a better ball club than we were last year. At this time, we have more height. We have more depth. I think that we have 9 players that definitely can play and contribute on a Division II NCAA basketball team, on a successful team. I think that we have more quickness. And with the height, of course, comes better rebounding and inside defense. We also have a team that I think will gel very well. We haven't at this point. We have a long ways to go in terms of learning our assignments, learning about each other. But then, we have time to do that. I think that the coaches, and I hope our fans too, will exhibit some patience if in the early season we may stub our toe a time or two. I think that any team that has as many new players as we have, 3 returning players out of the front 9 or the top 9, that leaves 6 players that are new, and it takes a while to gel. I think we are coming together quite nicely, but I think that only competition can bring us together the way that we feel that we will be competitive. If we don't come together early, we may, as I said earlier, stub our toe a time or two.
What are your strengths going to be?
Well, we have strengths in depth. I think we have strength in our height, which again relates to the rebounding and defense on our opponent's front line. I think that our overall quickness at guard is definitely a factor of strength. I think our perimeter shooting will be anywhere from average to slightly above average, especially at the guard spot. Forward positions, I'm a little concerned there about our perimeter shooting. But then with the added height, maybe we aren't going to be looking quite so much for perimeter shooting. So I'd say that in summary, overall quickness especially at the guard, our height, and I think balance too.
Based on what we talked about, what your season been the last couple of years, how you've got more height than you've ever had since I've been here. It sounds like you have more depth. How is this going to reflect itself in the season?
Well, that's a very good question. I think we can only say, of course, for sure, after we see our team in competition, then we can read off the opening ball games. Every coach says that or thinks that at least every year, and that's because it's true. But looking ahead to what might be, I think that that will reflect in us being more competitive against the quality teams. I think we've always been competitive against the average teams. It's the quality team that you prepare for, and you prepare your offenses and defenses, and you're thinking for the good ball clubs, because you yourself think that you're going to be at least average, and you rarely think that you're going to be a bad ball club, and so you prepare your thinking for the good teams and design things accordingly in your style of play. And I think that we will have an excellent chance to do well against the good ball clubs, particularly if we can gel and gel early.
How does it look in the Great Northwest Conference?
Well, there's the usual unknowns, especially from our position up here where we don't get papers from the local schools, and so we have to rely on their press releases and word of mouth. But I would say that every team in the conference expects to be improved. Puget Sound will be not the class of the conference necessarily, but they are definitely, in my opinion, number one in the conference at this time, followed closely by Seattle Pacific, who may be just a notch above the remaining 3 teams, which would be Eastern Washington and the 2 Alaska schools. I think it will be a very well-balanced conference, and as in the past, the teams have a tendency to win at home and lose on the road. And, of course, a team that can pick up that 1 or 2 additional wins on the road is usually the team that's in first or second place.
How does it look for Anchorage this year? Let's get the question everybody wants to know.
Well, I do, too. I would say that Anchorage would be improved over last year based on the fact that they have several returning key people, although they did lose one and player from a year ago, and one of their leading players, scores, and that definitely has to hurt them. They're new people, I suppose, like ours. If they can gel early and contribute early, then they'll be much improved over a year ago. Perhaps not much improved, I don't know that. I'm just suspecting that they are going to be considerably better than a year ago, particularly by mid-season.
This year, who are the players we should be watching for this year?
Well, we have coming back from last year, two starters, and of course Danny Miller, as many people know, is our leading scorer, and he was an all-conference ball player. At 6'4", he's maybe small by some people's standards, and in terms of height, he is, but the way he plays, he'll handle himself at forward with the very best of them. And Danny will be expected to carry a large share of the scoring load, but he's not the only one that can score, rebound, or play defense. We have other people that can do that too. And I mention it in that way because Danny is more of a complete ball player than perhaps many people recognize, simply because many people think a scorer only scores. But Danny does a lot of other things as well, and that is rebound and play defense. Then we have senior co-captain Bob Averill back from a year ago, who started every ball game and played the most minutes. So that gives us two players with a lot of experience to develop our team around. Bruce Noonan will be a player that will fit in at various times in the course of the ball game. I don't anticipate Bruce being a starter, at least not a starter that we are going into the season saying, well, he's going to be starting every ball game. He may start some games, depending on the situation. But Bruce has a quality about him that a lot of ball players lack, and his uniqueness is that he's a role player. And I don't like to use that particular term, but I think it does fit him, and people understand, I think, what we mean by role. Bruce can come in and pick up a quick basket or two, maybe pick up a loose ball or two. He has a way of being in the right place at the right time. It's just that there's an inconsistency in his play over a long period of time, but for short periods here and there, he contributes very, very well. And it's good to have a player like that. So Bruce is a vital part of our ball club. The other starters at this time, in addition to Bob and Dante, would be Todd Mazzullo, a 5'11 guard who has a great deal of quickness and is the type of player that you like to have on your team because he can do so many things, particularly in defense, but he can handle the ball and he can also score. Then up at the front line, Mike Bruce, in addition to Danny, is probably will be our biggest contributor in that he's 6'8". And Mike has the ability to play inside and also to play outside as long as he doesn't get too far from the hoop. He's a threat to score from about 15 feet on in. And with some game experience, I think he's going to be a very important ball player on our team and one of the better ball players in our conference. The other spot isn't necessarily wide open. It's being contested by three ball players. Tom Vanderweide, a 6'7 sophomore, right now appears to be emerging as the person that will start at that position. But he's being closely followed by Brent Spielman, who is 6'6", and Tom Welly, who is 6'8". So I look for those three ball players to split time at that forward spot and then, of course, give some relief as things would dictate to the other two forwards. And I think that covers the nine ball players that we anticipate playing.
In your in the past, because you haven't had the height, you played a different type of game. I shouldn't say different type of game. You played one type of game. Will you be playing the same game style, or will you be changing your game to fit this new height?
Well, we'll be going more to a inside game than we have before off of a post offense. We have played a five-man passing game offense without a post, and I've oftentimes referred to it as an open post. We still have that offense that we will run from time to time, but last year we started to go away from the passing game, and we'll be away from it even more this year because of the nature of our personnel. As we get into the season, and especially these first four ball games, the first two series that we play, I think that'll give us a strong indication what we should emphasize in terms of our offense and, of course, defensively as well. But I think that our offense will, I hope at least, it will be established very early that it'll be quick hitting and that we'll run the fast break. That's a part of quick hitting. Come down and make a couple three passes to create the good shot. If we don't create the good shot immediately, then, of course, we're going to exhibit the patience that we need to get a good shot off. I don't know of any successful ball team that can just run and gun and put the ball up and expect to win. Those teams play 500 ball. It's the teams that are well organized and exhibit patience when necessary to create the good shot that win.
Are we playing three-point basketball this year?
Yes, we are. We'll be playing the three-point play on the road against conference teams. and at home against conference teams. Then at home, we have also encouraged the visiting teams to participate in the experimental three-point play. And I've sent out information trying to be very positive about it so that the incoming coaches will say, oh, heck yes, we want to play this three-point play. It sounds like a good idea. Some of them will respond favorably, and some of them say, no, we're not too familiar with it, and it's not a part of our season, so we won't participate. I can understand that.
How did the three-point affect last year?
Well, it played a role. I still have mixed feelings about it. I suppose if I were to say how I feel about it in percentages, I would say probably 60-40 against the three-point play. It's not really a gimmick, as some people think, but then I don't know if it's really needed in our game of basketball and if it fits in there. I really don't know. So, therefore, I'll just leave it alone, leave it at that. I see a shot clock coming in only if the trend, which may be reversing itself now, continues as basketball was played 2 years ago. I think coaches are great copiers, and they do what they see other coaches doing, particularly the name coaches, the successful coaches at the Division I level who are on television, who appear in Sports Illustrated and other magazines and newspapers throughout the country. And that means, of course, primarily North Carolina. And then other teams start doing this sort of thing, North Carolina and the ACC, I might say. And then other teams see this sort of thing, and teams meaning coaches, and so they start mimicking and using it. However, last year when the ACC didn't have the three-point play, or excuse me, they had the three-point play, but and had the shot clock, so they couldn't really use their stalls like they were before, there was a definite trend through my limited observations of teams playing 40 minutes of pretty much all-out basketball. No, I don't. To be put it simply, I don't foresee a shot clock at this time.
Let me get back to your season. Have to take a swing.
I don't know. Should I be talking like an interviewer?
Whenever you want to, just when we're interviewing, go ahead and talk that way. Mm-hmm. You know, while we're doing this, I cut out pieces of it.
Okay.
But do you have any reserves that you have particular? Hopes for, I guess, is the way of saying it.
Yes, I do. And earlier I missed on Robert Silvas that I should have mentioned because he's going to be an important part of our ball game. It was an oversight on my part. I think that Silvas will give us some height at the guard spot, and he needs, like all of new players, he needs some game time, but he's probably less experienced than most of the other newcomers, the other five newcomers. And with some experience, game experience, I think he'll be an important part of our team. He's the one player, along with Danny Miller, that I would look to play a little bit of a swing position. Danny may play a little guard, and Robert may play a little forward, depending on the game situation at the time, like if we're trying to control the basketball towards the end of the game, if we're being, you know, pretty conservative in our efforts to score and we want a good ball handler in there, or we may have some of our bigger people in foul trouble, he could spell them for short periods of time. I look for Robert to be an important factor off the bench eventually, particularly because he's our one big guard that we have. He's a true guard, meaning that he's not a forward trying to play guard, like Danny would be a forward trying to play guard. And I think that Robert can contribute off the bench as a big guard, particularly in defensive situations. And I think that Brent Spielman and Tom Welley are very important factors in coming off the bench for us because they've got good size, and I think their skills are something that we're going to be able to utilize in there.
Sounds like you're happy with your recruiting season.
Yes, I'm happy. I may be overly optimistic at this time trying to generate, I realize as I've talked here and sometimes in the past that I may be overstating a few things, but I am enthusiastic about the players, not only their skills and their body size, But also, I think that we have a really fine group of young men, very coachable, hardworking, and they respond very well. We've had our ups and downs in practices, but we all have that this time of the year. And especially now, as we're winding down, we're getting tired of beating up on each other, and we'd like to have some outside competition. And that alumni game on the 18th will help us a great deal.
You've touched on one of the key things in any kind of sports thing. What is attitude like this year?
Good. Good. You know, it's just like, in my mind, the fast break. No matter how much we fast break, I feel we could always fast break more. We'd like to fast break more. And no matter what kind of personnel you have, you always think, well, you could work a percentage harder, or you could be more cohesive if you did this or that. But sometimes you expect too much too early. And I think that our attitude has been conducive to learning. And I have no serious criticisms about that. I just wish we were a little more intense every day out there. Some days we are, and then we drop off. But that's human nature, human error.
Great. I've jumped around quite a bit and asked several questions. Anything I missed that we should cover?
Not unless you want to say something about the alumni game.
Why don't you mention it?
Okay. We're playing our alumni game at 7:30 on Friday, November 18th, and we have a number of players from recent years playing. In fact, we have so many players in the area that some of them have played in past games, have no longer been invited to play simply because we go from their most recent players back, and since so many of them stayed around, well, we have quite a few players here. And also another reason, when you get back far enough, you might say that time has taken its toll on their competitiveness, or at least their ability to compete. And we try to keep the alumni team just as strong as possible, because the reason for playing the game is not to give those people, the alumni, an opportunity to play. It's to give our team an opportunity to develop, and this is a way that we do that. And each alumni player, I'm sure, understands that. And we don't tell them what style to play, who to play. All we say is, hey, the game's at 7:30, you show up. And the coaches that are handling the alumni team, they handle them in the manner in which they feel is best for them. And of course, I think that they enter the game too with a spirit of cooperation, that they know this is a way to help the varsity team develop for the season. It's been a really, really good thing, and it's always a highlight of the fall for us as coaches, and I'm sure also for many of our fans, because that is one of the best attended games of the year.
Now I'll ask the real question. What's
yes.
the season score going to be?
You mean win-loss wise?
What's your win-loss going to be?
Well, when you're 0-0, I guess you could say you can be. Well, we played 26 ball games this year. I guess we can say we're going to be 26-0.
That's a prediction.
No, it's not a prediction. That's just a mathematical possibility.
All right.
That's a good quote. Not a good quote, but
let's start off with a real tough one. What's your season?
I think our season is going to has a potential of being probably one of the best that's occurred at UAF. We were able to have a real good recruiting this year, and although we're going to have to replace our three top scorers from last year, the kids that we've brought in, statistic-wise, can handle, look on paper as if they can handle replacing the players that we've had, but it is going to take some time and some adjustments to be made to the program, to getting to know the other players on the team, and to my philosophy of coaching. So I think that that's going to take us a little time to develop, but I really feel that we probably have the most depth, the most talent, and the tallest team that we've had at UAF.
What are your particular strengths this year?
We have, in strengths, we have several areas. We have good speed. We did lose Tracy Mance, but we've replaced that speed to pretty much equal. We have a better inside height this year than we've had in the past, and we were really lacking. That was probably our weakest area last year. So we've recruited two real fine people to fulfill that end of it for us, and it'll take a little time. One is a freshman coming in, and one is a transfer student. So they're working real hard at that position, and both will see a lot of playing time. We have exceptional outside shooters this year too. So we have strength both in a man-to-man situation as well as in a zone situation. we'll be able to put the ball through the hoop.
Sounds good. Who are some of the exciting new players that you have?
Before we get to the exciting new players, I always think it's good, too, to mention what your weakness is. And I think of all things, if I had to point out one of the areas that we had as far as a weakness is concerned, that I'm concerned about is our defense. We've really been working hard in a practice situation and really tried to stress to our players that it may not be the most glorious type of a thing, but it's what really helps to win ball games for you. So we've been working much harder on our defense, both individually and team defense. And it's going to take us a little bit of time, but as we get better at that, we're going to really develop as a team. And instead of just trying to be a racehorse and get to the finish line an inch or a nose ahead of somebody, I want to get there by a comfortable margin. And it saves a lot of gray hairs, too. As far as exciting players are concerned, we've recruited Christy Flores out of Central Wyoming College. That was my junior college that I coached at, and I recruited Christy as a freshman player. And I watched her through the junior college tournaments last year, and she's really an exciting player to watch. She led the nation at one time for junior colleges in scoring for a period of 2 weeks and ended up in the top 20, so she's really capable of putting the ball through the hoop. We have Penny Mallett, who is a transfer out of Nebraska Western, and she also averaged in double figures, in the 20-point figures, and is an extremely fine passer and sees the court probably as well as anyone that I've ever coached. So she looks to be able to pick up the assist area as well as can really excite a crowd with her shooting abilities too. In the same vein along that line, we have Kim Drews, who is also in the double figures in scoring, and is a transfer out of the California Junior College system. And she is probably one of our better players defensively. Kim's only 5'9", but we'll probably see a lot of action at the forward position and maybe matched up against some taller people. But she seems to utilize her physical talents well of boxing people out and keeping them off the board. So I'm real excited about her in a defensive capacity as well as her offensive capacity. We have Lainey Wheeler, who's come in as a freshman for us out of Soldotna, Alaska. And we were real excited about Lainey, and we're real high on her. She's an extremely strong gal who's going to do a lot of rebounding for us. And she is really fitting into the system well. I think the hardest thing for any freshman coming in are the fact that there's a transition to make from high school to college. And she has a lot of raw talent that is really coming along and being refined. And if she's patient with that, we certainly are. And if she's patient with that, she's just going to improve and improve and improve this year and really come on strong for us each game. And I'm excited about that for her and for our program. Susan Harvey is a transfer student out of Gonzaga University. And she gives us a little bit of experience at that inside position, and we really needed that because we graduated our one senior that had some experience in that regard. So she does have a little experience in there in the inside position for us and is extremely tough on the boards, and will move people around and be able to get the rebound for us. And she was the leading rebounder in the Northwest Conference last year, and one of the leading rebounders in the Northwest Conference last year, as well as averaging in double figures. So we look for Sue to do some real fine things for us. And to fill that out, we have our returning players who have just matured a year. They've got a year's worth of growth and an understanding of the system that I'm looking forward to. And I'm really excited at what I'm seeing as far as the improvements that all those players have made. And we've been able to pick up some real exceptional players that have come into our program just recently through our tryout situation. And we look for them to really come along for us throughout the season and hopefully to see a lot of playing time because we're going to work hard enough as a team that we'll be able to utilize people in all of our game situations, if at all possible. That's one of our goals this year, is that we can afford to make sure that everybody gets into the game and gets the playing experience that they need in order to contribute to the team. So we're set on that goal, and we'd really like to see that accomplished. So I really feel like we have a real good core of individuals, and our goal has got to be for us to take that individual talent and mold it together as a team. And that is going to take us a little bit of time, and I think that that does occur when you do have good individuals coming into your program. But I think along with that, one of the things I'm excited about is the fact that these young people seem to be able to try to want to give to one another so that it does become a team situation, and we utilize the strengths that we have as individuals and make our program stronger and not avoid our weaknesses and make those weaknesses that we have strengths. And we do that as individuals, but we also need to do that as a team type of a thing. And so I've committed myself to that goal this year, and I think the players have mentally committed themselves to that and have indicated that to me, and I'm looking forward to that occurring for us and getting stronger as the season goes along. You can beat an individual, but you can't beat a team, and we've just got to learn that, and hopefully it won't be too painful a lesson.
Do you envision any major difference in your offense and defense?
Not a lot of major difference. My basic philosophy is that you do what you have to do to win. If we have the opportunity to fast break, we're going to fast break as much as possible. But we also have to be smart enough that if it's not there, we're not going to throw the ball away and we'll get back into our set offensive pattern. That's what we did last year. If we're up against an extremely taller team, then we may utilize our speed a little bit and try to outrun them. That won't be as much of a problem for us as it was last year because we do have the height to combat that. So I think we have a lot more flexibility than what we had last year. And I'm finding it very pleasing as a coach to really make a decision about who my starting five is. It's really difficult. It doesn't matter to me who starts because we have people that are going to see a lot of playing time. You know, we're going to go right on down the bench, so we have a lot of depth that's going to be crucial for us. And so that gives us a lot of flexibility, and that's a good position to be in as a coach.
It's nice to have that. What about your opponents? How do they look?
This is probably one of the tougher schedules that you know, in looking back at what's occurred in the past, I know it's a tougher schedule than it has been last year, and we're already scheduling for next year, and we've scheduled probably the top Division II school in the West, and so I've been pleased with that. But I think that you have to move at where you've been as far as your program is concerned, and we haven't had a winning program, and so I've tried to make it tough program, but also realistic. As far as what our goals are, we are going to play some Division I schools, which is going to be extremely probably above our heads, and then we're going to play some excellent Division II schools and teams that we are going to have to struggle against and hopefully come out on top against. And so I think we have an extremely tough schedule, and we're going to have to play everybody heads up, or you know, we're going to be beaten. And so that's the exciting part of it. Win-loss record. Well, in my second year as a head coach, I think that the thing that I would like to see accomplished is we were 11-17 last year. Obviously, I want to improve on that record, even though do have a tougher schedule. I think that that's a realistic goal for me as a coach. I definitely want to break 500 this year. I'd be very disappointed if we didn't break 500, and I would really have to look towards myself, towards evaluating why that occurred. And because I definitely think we have the talent to at least be a 500 and should be a better ball team than that. So, but with 2 years of the program under my belt and the schedule, that type of thing, anything from 500 on, you'll see a little bit of additional glimmer in my face and gleam in my eye.
And what's your win-loss numbers
going to be? I don't think I can predict that. I think that's too tough. I'm not doing very good in many pools and predictions and those types of things. So it's something that's really unpredictable at this point. I would like to predict that we are going to come out with everybody being healthy and earn ourselves a notch, hopefully, in a bid for the national tournament. And if you can give me that, then our win-loss record will speak for itself.
Okay. We've jumped around. I've jumped around with questions. Anything I haven't asked that haven't covered that you think we need to?
I guess my personal goal as a coach, from what I've seen, is to really try to get the community a little bit more involved in our program and our student body in seeing what actually the caliber of players and people that we've been able to recruit at UAF and students, and get them involved in the program and make them realize that women's basketball is really an exciting sport. It has changed over the years, and we've got some things that I think this year are really fun to take a look at and to watch and to make people go, wow, I can't believe how this game is being played at this level, and I'm excited about it. So I want to see those rafters just rocking this year, and I want to see the stands packed, and I'd like to see that occur, and I dream about it a lot, and hope that that'll be a reality this year. And I think what I've found is that once we get people to come up to see the games, they really find that we're doing some exciting things, and they want to come back, and we'd love to have them.